AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Monday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a wonderful Monday. We had a great day yesterday at First Baptist Texarkana. It was a very special day for me personally because my youngest granddaughter, Lyndon, she had trusted Christ just a month ago and was baptized by her dad, Jay, who is my engineer and works at the church, just yesterday morning. It was very, very special for us to see her give her life to Christ and then follow that up with a testimony through baptism. And we just had a great Sunday and we prayed. As we do often, we prayed for our nation. We prayed for President Trump. What happened Saturday night? Everybody's talking about it. The White House Correspondents' Dinner started at 8 o'clock Eastern time, and by 8:34, shots were fired, and they had to evacuate, and it was a scary situation. And so I've been thinking about that and reading about that, and I asked my friend Jenna Ellis if she would come on today to talk about that. So, Jenna, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, and I actually just got off of my live show, and we talked about this as well because I think this is the biggest story right now, unfortunately, in D.C., but also in America, because we have to talk about how this keeps happening and the rise of political violence and you know, just all of the things associated.
Well, I was thinking, Jenna, about 2 Timothy 3:1, where the Apostle Paul says, "But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come." And the word for difficult means perilous and hard and dangerous. And I believe that we're living in these times. And President Trump is such a lightning rod. I don't think we've ever had somebody in politics that has been hated more than President Trump. I know the left didn't like Ronald Reagan. They didn't like George Bush, but they didn't hate him and want to see him dead like these people. So many, the Keith Obermans of the world, want to see him dead and promote this rhetoric. And then when somebody takes him up on it, then they act like, oh, we need to stop this political violence, when they're the ones that are perpetrating it. How do you see that?
Yeah, well, I mean, let's not forget that, you know, Reagan had his own assassination attempt, and unfortunately, we've seen assassination attempts of presidents throughout American history, and unfortunately, a couple of those have been successful, but we haven't seen the type of just constant barrage of comments and commentary from the political opposition like we have against President Trump, and I think that there is definitely a difference in American politics today, even from, you know, the Reagan era, that it used to be that overall American society at least agreed on some basic assumptions. You know, we agreed that on the American experiment, that our rights come from God, our creator, that the purpose of legitimate government is to preserve and protect those rights. Even going back, you know, as recently as the Obama era, I mean, there were still some basic assumptions on the moral inherent dignity and human value. I mean, we're not that many years removed from from abortion being, according to the left, you know, we want to make it safe, legal, and rare. Right. I mean, now we're in a society that's calling for abortion on demand for convenience and almost for entertainment. I mean, shout your abortion, you know, some of these things. So I think that overall, it's not just about political violence against a president. It's overall about the worldview of how the left believes that life is inherently not valuable. We're not made in the image of God. We don't believe on basic assumptions of morality and God and society. And that's leading to more and more people concluding that their opinion and their feelings justify this type of violence, not only against President Trump and his administration officials, but even against, you know, average ordinary Christians or people, you know, walking down the street. We see some of these, you know, random, just utterly violent, horrific attacks that we think, what kind of society produces this? Well, a godless society is what produces this.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I know, Jenna, you're friends with Erica Kirk, and the video of her leaving in tears was just heartbreaking to me. It's hard for people to see, just regular people. They need to remember that President Trump is a person. He's a human being. His wife's a human being. Erica Kirk is a human being. When you just go after these people, you don't need to forget that they're people. I mean, she's still a grieving widow, and you talk about PTSD when bullets are flying. What would you say to the people that are just blistering her and acting like she's just some character actress when she's a grieving widow?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a complicated one, because I fully, completely condemn all of the ridiculous attacks on her character, her personally, impugning or implying that, you know, her relationship with Charlie Kirk was, you know, some kind of honeypot situation. I mean, all of these things are ridiculous and absurd. The difficulty with Erica is that because she has positioned herself almost immediately as a public figure, there is an element of legitimate critique, at least in that lane. So if people want to comment on what she's doing as the CEO and president of Turning Point, that's fair game. But what they aren't doing is talking about the actual policy positions of Turning Point USA, and now it's CEO. They're going after her personally, and they're justifying it because she's a public political figure. And that's absolutely wrong. That's dangerous. And that's why, I mean, she even had to cancel an appearance at one of her own events because of security threats. And so I think it's all reprehensible, and we need to get back to a point in society where we can differentiate between a public figure in politics and their policy versus going after them personally for no other reason than to just destroy their reputation, destroy them personally. I mean, I've been through that myself. I mean, right. You know, you want to talk about PTSD. I mean, I've been through that, where, you know, the people who hated me because I worked for President Trump and then hated me because they thought wrongly that I abandoned him or turned on him, you know, they came after me personally instead of sticking to the issues or where they disagreed with me. I mean, disagree with me all you want. That's fine. We can have that debate and that opinion, but have it be respectful. And that's what we no longer have in politics, is just basic respect.
Yeah, I was thinking about, there was a cartoon back in the day. I'm a lot older than you are, so you may not remember this, but it was about a sheepdog watching the sheep and a wolf going after the sheep. And the sheepdog would just beat the stuffings out of the wolf, but then they would blow the whistle, now it's lunchtime, and then they would eat together. And it's kind of like attorneys. You know, attorneys are like that. They can be so vicious with one another, and then they can go have dinner together.
They used to be, but even in that profession, it's getting to the point where they take it so personally who advocates for which side. And I found that as an advocate and an attorney for President Trump, that even some of my former colleagues were impugning me personally instead of recognizing that, you know, everybody in this country is entitled to a defense, entitled to advocates. But yeah, it used to be that way.
Well, okay, so according to AI, there were about 2,600 attendees at this White House Correspondents' Dinner. That's a lot of people. Okay, so security, because from the outside looking in, it's just like in Butler, Pennsylvania. It's like, well, good grief. Did you guys want this to happen? Because it seemed like there was such a lack of security. Do you think the security was tight enough for this event, or was it lax again?
Well, you know, I think that the investigation is still unfolding, and, you know, obviously, I think that there should have been tighter security to even prevent this type of thing from happening at the checkpoint. What acting Attorney General Todd Blanche said is true, that at least, you know, the security worked as designed and this guy didn't get any further than past that first mag. But the issue, as I see it, is that you know, he was only able to be there because he had apparently, according to reports, checked into this hotel days in advance, and there was no scrutiny. But what's the solution to that? I mean, you can't have Secret Service vetting every single person who checks into a regular Washington hotel. I mean, to me, if there is any sort of security failure or other precautions that you need to take, Trump is absolutely right to want a secure location at the White House that can accommodate this many people for events. And that's why so many people, including me, and I wasn't paid for this, it wasn't coordinated or anything like the left was suggesting, but a lot of people are saying, you know, this is exactly why a ballroom at the White House makes sense, because then you already have a situation where it's completely secure and you're just bringing in the guests that are supposed to be there instead of trying to secure a different, completely different location that's out in public. So I think that that's really honestly the best solution to all of this is the White House ballroom.
Yes, I agree with that. Okay, you had mentioned before we got on the air about conspiracy theorists. They're already starting in on this because Trump doesn't like the White House Correspondents' Dinner, never wanted to go, but he wanted to go to this one. Jenna, when you couple this with Butler, Pennsylvania, which seemed very, very strange, the background of that, do you see a conspiracy here?
Not at all. I mean, people are suggesting, and the conspiracy theory as it goes is because Trump has never wanted to go to the White House Association Correspondents' Dinner, and he didn't across his first term, and then, you know, he hasn't until this one, that, oh, isn't it convenient that now there's this shooter that comes, and now he's suggesting that his ballroom needs to be built when a judge has temporarily halted construction, saying that it needs congressional approval. And so now this is basically going to give him, in their view, a pretext to get that done. I don't think, and, you know, knowing Trump personally, I don't see that as remotely plausible or something that, you know, would be manufactured or designed. I think that this is just proof that his desire for a secure ballroom is legitimate and justified. And so, you know, I don't know the reason that he decided to go to this particular dinner after, you know, he didn't want to for so long. But, you know, he knows that his presidency and his term is coming to a close. He has a little bit different relationship with the press than he used to. I mean, he went on 60 Minutes last night. You know, he's starting to do more and more of, you know, these opposition or leftist media interviews than you know, than he had at kind of the end of his first term. And so I think there was just probably a different calculation. And people are too quick to jump to conspiracy theories instead of just looking at the event for what it was, which was a deranged individual who should be held responsible for his actions and the rise overall in our culture of, in their view, justified political violence that really is not justified. And that's where we should focus our energy, not on these ridiculous conspiracy theories.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you make of the Butler, Pennsylvania situation? Because it seemed like the FBI or the security there knew about this guy. They were told about there's this guy on the roof. They didn't seem to do anything about it. Do you think that was an inside job?
I don't think it was inside. I haven't seen, you know, any reports coming out with, you know, with that type of, you know, line of thinking. I mean, I tend to trust the people who are actually looking at the evidence for themselves. I don't, you know, think that there's some grandiose, you know, cover up or anything like that. Just like I don't believe in any of the conspiracy theories around Charlie Kirk's assassination. I trust, I mean, and I know Dan Bongino very well personally. He was still the deputy director of the FBI during that just horrible assassination of our friend. And, you know, so I just think that that was a total massive security failure on the part of Secret Service because, you know, something like that hadn't happened in so long. And, and so it was almost more of an approach, well, you know, we're here and if we secure the perimeter, you know, this serves as a deterrent, almost like what I think happened with Charlie, was that they thought, you know, just the presence of security was enough to deter anything from happening rather than actually providing security for snipers on roofs, for, you know, all of these different locations where there could be a threat. And it only takes one. It just takes one deranged individual that, you know, for whatever their motivation, you know, tries to shoot. And unfortunately, in Charlie's case, he was successful. Thankfully, in President Trump's case, none of these assassination attempts have been successful. But I think the point is, deterrence isn't the most effective. Actually providing security needs to be effective moving forward.
Yeah. Jenna Ellis, thank you for coming on today. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve will be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. I want to encourage you to check out Activate Summit coming up 2026, July 16th through 18th at the Cadence Bank Conference Center in beautiful Tupelo, Mississippi. If you've never been to Tupelo, I had never been up until a few years ago. Tupelo's a really cool town, and Cadence Bank Conference Center is really, really nice, and they have some really neat hotels downtown. But we're going to be there for Activate Summit 2026, From Roots to Fruit. Grounded in truth, growing in grace. And the topics at this conference, it's for the whole family. Topics: what will it take for our country to overturn the Obergefell decision that legalized homosexual marriage and return to a biblical definition of marriage? How to raise godly children in an LGBTQ-saturated world. That is really, really important. How to honor God when it seems like your family is falling apart. And how to guide your children through a world full of technology and social media. Dr. Jessica Peck is going to be talking about that. And I'm going to be talking about husbands and dads in the family, how to have a great marriage, how to have a great family. How do you combat all these things coming at you in marriage and in family? And so it's going to be a great, great weekend, July 16th through the 18th. And so you can register by going online, afa.net/summit, afa.net/summit. Hope you'll check it out. We're going to have a special meet and greet on that Friday night, the 17th, and looking forward to meeting lots of our listeners and getting to shake hands and hug necks and just spend time together. Well, we've been talking about the situation that happened on Saturday night. This now the third time that President Trump has been attacked, wanting to kill him. Obviously, the one in Butler, Pennsylvania, where his head was almost blown off by a sniper, and he turned it just that moment, hit his ear, and people were killed. One person was killed from that attack, and the shooter was immediately killed. You just ask yourself, okay, what is going on? I read 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the first segment with Jenna Ellis, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, and a laundry list of sins that are there. But we live in perilous times, because I believe we're getting closer and closer to the return of Christ. And, you know, President Trump, in my opinion, he is such an enigma. He does some really, really good things. And he does some and says some things that you just say, I don't understand how a guy that is as smart as you can do those things. And so we have these cringe moments where we're just like, ugh. And then these other moments where we're like, yes, that is so good. So somebody wrote this, and you know, it's a different way to look at President Trump. And I realize you have the people that just hate the guy. Bill O'Reilly talks about that. He says, no matter what Trump does, people with Trump derangement syndrome, they hate the guy's guts. They think he's the Antichrist. They think he is the devil in the flesh. And no matter what he does, he coughs, and there's something wrong with that. Somebody wrote this, put it online, and it was a letter to President Trump. And it says, I don't know if you'll ever read this, probably not, but I'm writing it anyway, because my wife and I talk about this all the time, and somebody needs to say it out loud. We can't wait for the day you're no longer president. Not because we're tired of you, just the opposite, because you deserve to go home. You deserve quiet mornings. You deserve to sit on your own porch without the weight of 330 million people sitting on your shoulders. You deserve your family back. You deserve peace. You didn't have to do any of this, which is true. You had the money, you had the name, you had the life most men only dream about. You could have spent the rest of your days golfing, traveling, watching your grandkids grow up. That is true. Instead, you stepped into a fire that nearly cost you everything. They mocked you, they sued you, they raided your home, they tried to bankrupt you, they tried to lock you up, they dragged your wife and kids through the mud, they put a bullet through your ear, and you got up with your fist in the air and kept going. For what? Now, this is where people can differ. He says, for what? Well, for us. For regular people, for truck drivers and welders and waitresses and roughnecks and farmers and single moms working two jobs, for grandparents on a fixed income watching the country they built get handed away. You didn't owe us a thing and you gave us everything. You risked your name, your legacy, your safety, your family safety, your brand, your freedom, all of it, so this country could have one more shot at being what it was supposed to be. And the truth nobody wants to admit, we didn't deserve a president like you. Now, people will disagree with that, obviously. But those other things, yeah, I mean, for most of us, I would say 99.9% of us, we would say, who needs this? I mean, I can retire in luxury. I can travel and play golf and do all the things that this guy said. But he didn't do that. To me, Donald Trump, President Trump, is such an enigma, because he's got such a mixture of good motive and selfish motive, and it's hard to figure it out. What is propelling this guy? Obviously, the Lord has protected his life, and if you believe in Romans chapter 13 that God is the one who allows people in authority to get into those positions, and so God's in control of everything. A sparrow doesn't fall to the ground except God allows it. So he's allowed this to happen, and Donald Trump is a friend of Christians. He likes Christians. I don't believe Donald Trump has ever experienced the grace of God in a saving way, but nothing's ever said it would convince me of that. I pray for him. I want him to have that relationship, that experience with the Lord and being born again. But I don't think he's had that before. And I think that, as Dr. Erwin Lutzer said, I think he is a lot like King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, in the book of Daniel. And I want him to have that Daniel 4 experience, not to lose his mind and live out in the wilderness like a wild animal for 7 years like Nebuchadnezzar did, but to come to the place where you humble yourself and you see that the Lord Most High is king over the earth and king over mankind, and to take your rightful place, give him his rightful place as king, and take your rightful place as doulos, as slave, as the lowest slave, as one who is deserving of nothing. And when that happens, that's the fear of the Lord, to give God his rightful place and take your rightful place and then experience his grace, because God does love us. But this letter goes on to say, you know, we didn't deserve a president like you, a nation this divided, this ungrateful, this asleep at the wheel, didn't earn a man willing to bleed for it, but God sent you anyway, and I'll thank him for it until the day I die. So when the day finally comes that you walk away from that desk, I hope you sleep well. I hope your wife laughs again without looking over her shoulder. I hope your kids breathe easy. I hope you golf till the sun goes down and nobody bothers you for nothing. You earned every bit of it. Thank you, Mr. President. From a truck driver in Texas who prays for you often. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless the United States of America. Well, that's a good letter. And, you know, there's a lot of truth in that. But as I asked Jenna, I said, do you agree with this letter? And she said, well, in part, she said, but a lot of what Trump does, Donald Trump, President Trump, has to do with his own ego. Why does he keep going? He loves being president and he loves the power, and no doubt there would be a rush there. Most of us can't imagine what it would be like to be the president. But I can tell you from very small scale, when you're the pastor of a church, when people come at you and people don't like you because you are doing something that they don't like, and they start to attack you on social media, that hurts. They'll come into your office and spew. That's not fun. Now, how you respond to that is really, really critical. I've been pastor at First Baptist Texarkana for 23 years, and you know, there were times I didn't respond well. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Well, that's hard. And when somebody is saying something that is not true about you, or coming at you, or accusing you of different things, and assigning evil motives, from a pastor's perspective, there's a tendency to want to lash out, and you gotta really watch that, because as a friend of mine, Rich Halcombe, told me, he said early on in my pastorate, he said, Jeff, if you're in a business meeting or in some kind of deacon's meeting and somebody says something that is accusatory or has a real, you know, sharp barb in it, they don't care what that person said. They care how you respond to it. If you respond in kind to a nasty comment, then their opinion of you goes down. So you have to be real, really careful how you respond. And so Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Obviously, Donald Trump doesn't think about that. But does he deserve all the vitriol that is thrown his way? Of course not. As Jenna Ellis said, hey, you can disagree with a person's policies. You cannot like how they do immigration, how they enforce the laws on immigration. You cannot like a person's stance on this, that, and the other. But you don't have to say, I want to see you dead. I'm going to privately cheer, as many have done this, no doubt. The people that have said, you know, one guy said point blank, you know, we're not going to excel or proceed as a country until somebody puts a bullet in his head. Somebody actually said that in an interview. And then that same person will go on when somebody takes him up on that, like this guy, Cole Thomas Allen, who went to the correspondents' dinner and started shooting. Well, then they'll say, oh, no, we need to tone down the rhetoric. Well, good grief. You're the one that ratcheted up the rhetoric. And so at least be honest about that. And anyway, here here was Scott Jennings. I wanted to play this clip. Scott Jennings, after the events unfolded on Saturday night. You know, the dinner started at 8 p.m. Eastern time, and at 8:34, that's when shots were fired. So things were just beginning.
Yeah, I've been in this room on the air live twice now when somebody tried to come in and kill the president. I mean, it's pretty obvious that's what this guy wanted to do, cause maximum damage with the president in the room. I worry about him every day. I worry about these events. I mean, all those people, I mean, think about it. President, vice president, most of the line of succession was in the same room, and somebody was able to get that close. It's scary, frankly. I'll be honest with you, conservatives feel under attack. I mean, we've had Charlie, we've had 2-3 assassination attempts on the president. I'm hearing a lot of that this morning. I thought the president was amazing last night. The guy's unflappable. He goes to the White House podium and struck the exact right tone. His rapport with Weijia Zhang, the head of the White House Correspondents Association, was excellent. I think, you know, they had all gone through something together, and the way he handled it was right on, in my opinion. Final issue for me, law enforcement. These guys are heroes. The guy who took a bullet is a Secret Service agent. He's going to be okay. We're not paying these guys. It's outrageous. 70 days, the Department of Homeland Security with the Secret Service tucked under there, unfunded. It's outrageous. And the people who've got it shut down right now ought to think long and hard about that night last night. And, you know, what that means to a cop who has to show up and take a bullet. Every American ought to be outraged by it.
That was Scott Jennings, one of the lone conservative voices on CNN. But he was just talking about what is going on and, you know, the situation with Donald Trump being unflappable. He really does handle a crisis well. And you may not like President Trump, but getting up after being shot in Butler, Pennsylvania, and saying fight, 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 is iconic. And I think about, I shared this Friday when we had Bishop E.W. Jack, or Thursday when we had Bishop E.W. Jackson on the program, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14, a verse for every Christian today: remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight. Fight for your families, for your wives and your children and your sons and your daughters, you know, and your houses. That's what we need to do as believers in Jesus. Now, as we sing that song in church, and when I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high, and we praise God and we trust God. The battle is the Lord's, as David said to Goliath. Now, we have to show up, and we have to engage, and we have to speak the truth in love. And as I shared Sunday when I talked about toxic empathy versus true love, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. And we're called to speak the truth in love. So much of what is done by the left under the banner of love is not love at all. I mean, they try and justify homosexual marriage by saying love is love. Well, that what you're talking about is not love. Homosexuality is perversion. It's an abomination to God. That's not love. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, 1 Corinthians 13:6, but rejoices with the truth. Love is connected to righteousness, and it's connected to truth. And real love does not applaud sin. And that's what the Bible clearly teaches. And what we have on the left is people trying to hijack what love really is and say, yes, if you really love people, you would affirm them in their sin. You would affirm them in their insanity, as transgenderism is insanity. And that's not love. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you and what you think about the events from Saturday night. So give me a call and let's talk.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe, but did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult, perilous, dangerous times will come. That's what that word difficult means. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. 19 negative characteristics of people in the last days. We're seeing all of these, and they're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. As Paul goes on to say to Timothy, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. We're living in a time where people want you to lie to them. They want you to just tell them that they're okay, that God loves them, that there's nothing required of them, that they're fine just the way they are. That's not true. The message of the gospel is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As it says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, when Peter was preaching, repent therefore and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Real love, if you really love someone, you will tell them the truth. You will speak the truth in love, with kindness, with compassion, with care, with sympathy, but you're not going to water down the truth. And you're going to tell people, hey, you have an opportunity to repent. You're going the wrong way. But here's the good news. Jesus died for you. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for you. And you can turn around and turn to him. And he will save you, and he will cleanse you, and he will wipe your sins away. And you will experience the time of refreshing from the Lord. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Love to hear from you. We've been talking about the assassination attempt on President Trump's that came Saturday night at the White House Correspondents' Dinner at the Washington Hilton Hotel. And just unbelievable. But security did a great job in foiling that attempt and apprehended the shooter. Nobody was killed in that altercation, and so that is a great praise. And President Trump, as Scott Jennings said, he did handle that really, really well. And it would have been a frightening thing to be. I saw, as many of you saw, Erica Kirk leaving in tears, PTSD, as gunfire, you know, it brings back all that she experienced watching her husband get killed. Just horrific for her. And so I encourage you to pray for her, that the Lord would protect her. And as Jenna Ellis said, she is a public figure, but she's also a grieving widow, and she's also a mom of two little kids. And as a dad of three girls, my heart just hurts for her. And so as the Lord brings her to mind, pray for her and pray that God would just protect her, would hold her close to his heart, and would just provide for her needs and minister to her. Well, we have Larry on the line from Texas. Larry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Pastor Reed.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to make a statement again, love your show. But also, I believe that President Trump is also our modern-day Nebuchadnezzar. And God is using him to give us that additional opportunity to make things right and lined up with his will. But we also have to remember President Trump was minding his own business when the Republicans didn't have a candidate to run. Mm-hmm. And he called them on their bluff, and the bluff was answered, and I think it was a brilliant strategy by our Lord and Savior to bring forth President Trump to do what no other conservative candidate could have done during that time. And so I do believe we have to thank God for President Trump at this time. And also, the church has to remember, we have a mandate to pray for him.
Yes.
There's too many of those, I too am a pastor, who use their mouths errantly when it comes to President Trump. But that's my comment. Thank you. God bless your show.
Amen. Thank you, Larry. Those are great comments for sure. We do have a command from Scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 2 to pray for those whom God has put over us, pray for kings and those who are in authority. And when Paul wrote that, Nero was king. He was the Caesar, and he was a horrible guy. And yet we are commanded to pray for those in positions of authority. No matter how much we disagree with that person, we're commanded to pray for them. You know, Dr. Tom Askell, who's on the program frequently, shared, hey, every Sunday I prayed for Joe Biden. He was president. I prayed for the president, and I pray for President Trump. Whoever is the president, we're going to pray as a church for that guy, because the Scripture tells us to do that. So great comments, Larry. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for that. Now, as those who know me, they know I'm a huge Rocky Balboa fan. I had the privilege of meeting Sylvester Stallone in 2006 when the Rocky VI movie came out, it wasn't called Rocky VI, it was called Rocky Balboa, and he was doing a tour and visiting different cities. Well, he came to Dallas. I got to preview the movie with some other pastors and then interview him in the ballroom there in 2006. And so I love Sylvester Stallone, a really nice guy too. But his brother, Frank, he came on after the assassination attempt, and he was talking about President Donald Trump. This is what Frank Stallone had to say.
We had an incident tonight that could have changed the course of history. We can do better than this. This is the President of the United States, and he's trying to do a good job. I've known Donald Trump since 1990. I've always found him to be a gentleman, funny, warm guy, but you just don't want to give him a break. Hopefully, the press conference we saw tonight, maybe it was a wake-up call to some of the press to maybe speak the facts. Give the president a break. You know, with this constant rhetoric, this is what goes on. And, you know, I'm kind of embarrassed to be from California with this creep that tried to shoot him. Could have killed some other innocent people. And here's the president has a press conference like 30 minutes later. And basically was reaching out to the press, to everybody. We are all in this together. Mm-hmm. It's very simple. We have up times, we have down times. Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. They can't. They terrorize the world and they would use it. That's the bottom line. So if you have to pay a little more for gas for a little while, so what? Look what people sacrificed here during World War II. You know, food shortage, gas shortage. Everyone chipped in. And I wish people would do that. I wish they'd think about it. Think about your actions, what you do. And God bless our president. God bless this country. I'm happy everyone was safe. But let's do better.
That was Frank Stallone, Sylvester Stallone's brother. I thought he had some good things to say. And he's known Donald Trump for a long time. And as he said, he's always shown himself to be a gentleman. I think many of us make determinations about people that we don't know. And we forget the fact that he is a person and we need to be praying for him. Well, we are going to the phone lines and we have David on the line from Florida. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor. There are so many things I could touch bases on right now, but what I've been getting a gut feeling the past couple of days or so that it reminds me of the movie The Jackal. It was Bruce Willis, it was Sidney Poitier, and it was Richard Gere. And Bruce Willis was a hitman that was always a ghost figure. They could never find him. And he was sending out soft targets to distract the FBI from finding out who he really was. That's what I'm fearful of. I've called the H of Harvard Homeland Security this morning and gave them that little buzz in their ear. And that's my other caveat is I just think the American people have fallen asleep at the wall. We have got to wake up and take a stand for this midterm election. We've got to take a stand for our country and for our children. We have just let this go and we've become complacent and lazy.
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree, David. if you love the Lord, if you love your kids, if you love your grandkids, if you love the country and the Constitution and what America stands for, you have to fight for it. Otherwise, it goes away, because the devil hates America. America's brings more people to Christ than any other nation. It has, that's been our history, sending missionaries throughout the world and the revivals and awakenings that have taken place in America. Well, the devil doesn't want that. He doesn't want freedom. He wants to have a evil despot over us. He'd love for America to embrace Sharia law, and that it seems like we're going in that direction. And the combination of Islam and socialism getting together, those are two great evils that are anti-biblical. That's not a political thing. That's a biblical thing. And if that takes hold in America, that will destroy. And if you love people, you don't want to see people get destroyed, and you want to see people have the freedom to worship and the freedom to conduct their lives. And so I agree with you, David, and we need to be praying, and we need to be as watchmen on the wall. So God bless you, brother. Thank you for calling in with that. We have Iris on the line from Texas. Iris, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, and thank you, Pastor Jeff, for all you do. I love your ministry.
Thank you.
And the bottom line of it is I agree with everything that's been said, but I wanted to point out something that I believe the Lord showed me. Every day I declare Psalm 91 over so many people speaking the word out loud. And I believe that because millions of people declare that over and pray that over our president and the cabinet and others as well, Prime Minister Netanyahu and those, and Mike Huckabee and those that are critical in world issues today, that's made a difference, because mm-hmm. God did answer our prayers, because the word says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. I just want to hear your comment, and thank you again for all you do. God bless you.
Yes, amen to that, Iris. So for those not familiar, she prays this psalm, Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord, my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For He will give His angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because He has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. Hey, that would be a great thing for all of us to pray for President Trump, for Benjamin Netanyahu, for Marco Rubio, for Pete Hegseth, for Tulsi Gabbard, for these people, RFK Jr., these people in critical positions, Mark Wayne Mullen, and pray for them that God would protect them. So let's do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before you. We thank you that you are the Most High, and that a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground except you see it, and you're over it, and you allow it. And Lord, we just pray your hedge of protection around President Trump and all those who help him. Lord, we pray for people that are involved in all this evil. We pray that you would bring it to naught. We pray that you would cause it to fall and fail, and Lord, that you'd be glorified. Father, I pray a special prayer for Erica Kirk as she goes through so much, and just hold her close to your heart and remind her again how special and precious she is to you and how you're going to work all things together for good. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Keep looking to the Lord.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.